Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
All right, something that I've been really looking forward to, and I know you're going to be glad that you're here this morning. We have a number that are out on vacation and et cetera. We're so glad you're here. We even have people who have come in and visited because these guys are here, and we welcome you. We're glad that you've come to be a part with us this morning. And so without any further ado, I want to introduce these guys, Paul Ecker and the guys of Dallas Teen Adult and Teen Life Challenge. Come on. Our hearts are open. We receive you.
On behalf of all these guys up here, I just want to thank you all so much for having us here this morning. It's a pleasure and an honor to be able to minister to y'all and let y'all know what God's doing in our lives. My name's Tyler McEwen. I am 29 years old, and I've been in the program for just under 8 months now. I was saved when I was 15 years old at Lakeview Church, just right down the road. Was going to church regularly every Wednesday with my buddies, going to youth group, going every Sunday. I even did some missions work while I was in high school as well. But towards the end of my senior year of high school, I began to experiment for the first time with drugs and alcohol. I took one step off of my path with the Lord, and the next thing I knew, that one step turned into miles away from where I needed to be. When I graduated high school, I joined the military. I told myself, surely this is going to force me to get my act together whether I like it or not. And little did I know, you know, I had people telling me how impressed and how proud of me they were, but, you know, the devil was not impressed. He continued to come after me harder than he ever had before. When I got out of the military, I became engaged to be married. I got married and found myself in another situation, saying once again, you know, surely this is going to force me to get my act together, make me grow up, and get my life straight. But a year into my marriage, because of my addiction, my wife left me. Now, at this point in my life, I entered a real deep depression, and I began turning to any and every combination of drugs, alcohol, and unhealthy relationships to try and fill this void that I had inside, this emptiness that I know a lot of people have felt at some point in their lives. And in retrospect, that emptiness and that void can only be felt with or filled with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, not knowing that at the time, I continued down a very self-destructive path for about the next 6 or 7 years. Wound up in and out of jail several times until I came up on October 30th of 2018. I found myself arrested and incarcerated for the 14th time in Collin County. And a few weeks into being in there, I was laying on my bunk one night just kind of reminiscing on all the opportunities that I had given up, you know, that I had missed out on, everything that I had had and lost because of the choices that I was making. And relying on my own wisdom and things, and never turning back completely to God. You know, I always believed in Him, but I never was willing and able to commit my life to Him. And so one night I was laying on my bed, and I said, Lord, you know, I'm tired. I'm tired of disappointing my father. I'm tired of being the reason that my mother cries. I'm tired of being a burden of worry and guilt on my family and my loved one, people I know who care about me. I said, God, most of all, I'm tired of running from you. So on that night, I recommitted my life to the Lord. And, you know, he blessed me with perspective that evening, because I could have chosen to be angry and upset about the situation that I found myself in once again. But he helped me realize that he saved my life. He pulled me out of the situation that I was in, because he knew that that was the only way he could get me to finally be still and listen to him. You know, he's always in control. He knows what's best. And I thank God every day for that. I've been in this program, like I said, for almost 8 months. I'm coming up. I'm like 5 days shy of my 10 months of sobriety date, which I thank God for every day. Thank you all. You know, this program, it's truly a blessing. I tell a lot of people who, you know, I've been through other rehab programs that are 30 days and, you know, even shorter than that. And I always tell people that, you know, if you develop an entire life of bad habits and wrong decisions, and it takes time and it takes a Christ-based a program to undo those habits and make and replace them with new positive habits. And that's what this place gives you the opportunity to do. It separates you from the rest of the world so you can focus on developing your relationship with God. And you can well equip yourself for when you can finally go back out there. The verse that I stand on, the Lord gave it to me that night that I recommitted myself to the Lord when I was in jail. And it's something I always remember still to this day. It's Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. It says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, for the Lord disciplines those he loves. As a father, the son he delights in." Thank you all.
Good morning. My name is Elijah Aguirre, and I'm a student at Teen Life Challenge. For quite a few years, since I was 17, I tried to do life on life's terms, and it just wasn't working. I was lost in sin. Drugs came into my life at that time, and they just took a hold of me, and I couldn't get myself loose. They chained me up, and I couldn't see anything past the things in this world. And my family, they're good Christian people, and they were trying their hardest all the time to get me to come back to God. And throughout my childhood, I was, you know, I read the Bible. I went to church every day with them, and then I stopped going. And I tried to figure out who I was supposed to be in this world. But the answers weren't coming clearly. And in 2017, I found myself in a faith-based rehab, another one. It's called the House of Isaiah. And I believe throughout my time there, I gave my life to God and I was saved. But I strayed a little bit. I rejected my calling that God gave me. And even though I learned a lot, I learned the tools that I need in order to fulfill his calling and fulfill his plan according to his will. I wasn't strong enough, and I wasn't giving the strength that he was giving me and putting it in the faith that I was supposed to have. And even now I struggle. The enemy's been attacking me a lot. And I try to stay strong. Even when I fall, I know now that no one in this world, nothing in this world can separate me from the love and the calling of God that he's blessed me with. And he's blessed me with patience. He's blessed me with a vision and seeing the Holy Spirit. And I thank him for that every day, because without that, I don't know if I'd be able to stay in this place, honestly. And I had a mentor, God rest his soul, and he told me, and it sticks with me, it sticks in my heart, when you have a setback, don't step back, because God has a comeback. So today I vow to continue to live my life according to God's word and according to the calling that he's given me. And the verse that I stand on today is it's Mark 11, 22 and 23. "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "If you tell this mountain to throw itself into the sea and do not have doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will happen, it will be done for you." Thank you for listening.
Good morning. My name is Hunter. I'm from New York. I'm 25 years old, and I'm like 3 days shy of a year. So vacation brought me to Texas. and I ended up in the program. God works in mysterious ways. But it saved my life. So I was raised to believe in God. I was raised Roman Catholic, so not very well. But sorry, it's a bad joke. But my family really believes, and I really believed. But at 13, I got diagnosed with a liver disease, and I couldn't come to terms with that. I believe that everything happens for a reason, and we're not given more than we can handle. But I couldn't handle it, and it turned me away from God. I didn't blame him, but I felt like I was being punished for something. And I lost that connection. So I became incredibly depressed, and I turned to drugs to numb those feelings. And that just progressively got worse. I lost friends. I burned bridges. Just the pain just never went away, you know. But being here, I've found joy. I've found hope. I've found peace. I've had more fun in this year than I've had in my entire life. I found friends here that truly care for me. And I have hope for my future, which I've never had. And I can't thank anyone but God. I do thank these brothers behind me. I thank all of you for your support, your prayers, because we wouldn't be here without it. I thank Paul. But it's just God saved me, and you know, sometimes I still have doubts, which is incredible, you know, because I've been to a bunch of rehabs, and you know, I never cared about myself. I had all the tools that I needed. You know, they tell you what you need to do, but I've never cared about myself enough to make that change. And only God could do that for me. And so the scripture I stand on is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good, not disaster, to give you a hope and a future. Thank you.
Hello, good morning. My name is Brent. I'm 38 years old. I'm from Mansfield, Texas, and I've been here 3 days shy of a month, unlike Hunter. I got a ways to go. But I came into the program actually in 2015, and when I came into the program then, I had a younger brother that was here, and I was out there, you know, lost, doing my thing, and caught up in what I wanted to do, and the guys in the program at the time were praying for me. You know, my little brother was here. He knew I needed help, and so I like to think I got my way prayed into the center the first time, and this time's not much different, as you'll see. So when I came in 2015, it was unbelievable. I found a new way to live that I had never thought possible. I'd always tried to live life my own way, and it never works out. So found this new way to live and loved it. I felt good. I was at peace for the first time in my life. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And it was a good time. I was there for 2 years, and then went out, started working, and I had gone to work for a guy that had actually gone through the program years before, and he had started his own business, and several other guys that were in the program at the time went to work about the same time I did. So I thought, this is great. I got accountability. You know, we'll do this together. And I slowly just started getting away from everything that I'd been taught and everything that I'd been doing over the last 2 years, and found myself right back in the same situation that I get myself into. And but the thing is, God has never, he's never left my side. I've always been right there in his hands. And so I'm at work, and I'm doing, you know, I'm trying to hide out in work. You know, it's like I can that was like my escape. And my boss would always say, you know, I got some guys at the center that can come help you. Do you want them? No, no, I'm good. But eventually, you know, I got to the point where I needed help. And, you know, Cameron and Jacob and Cody, you know, the guys that were in the program started coming around, and I would see them and I would think, man, I miss that. I miss the brotherhood and just feeling good. You know, I was miserable, and here these bright, shiny faces are, and I'm like, man, I miss that. I need to do something. Finally get my back up against the wall, and Cameron keeps asking me, he's like coming around, hey, you opening your Bible? No. I don't think he needed me to answer. He probably knew before I even gave him an answer. But anyways, he starts praying for me. He's coming back to the center, and the guys are praying for me. And once again, the Lord took me from the situation I was in, like Tyler was saying, and just gently put me where I need to be. Get me back. I don't want to say track, but just get me back to where my life needs to be. And very thankful. I'm thankful to be here. I'm glad to be over here on the Fort Worth side of the world, because that's the side I'm from, and it is different than Dallas. It is. The scripture I stand on is Joshua 1:9. It's the Lord telling Joshua, have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I believe that. I believe that he's with all of us everywhere we go. We can't run from him, can't hide from him, and I'm thankful for that.
Morning, family. Wow. I don't know if I can get through this. So we're just going to get right in. What's up, bro? Love you, man. That's my brother. Anyways, he's my brother's, but that's my brother by, you know. Yeah, yeah. Paul said he wanted some sugar-free, so we got him some sugar-free gum. That's for dessert. Man, it's been a 31-year-long journey of my life, but about a 7-month journey of the brand new me. Man, just the Lord is so good. He's done so much. You know, like Hunter says, it's incredible how we can doubt when every day he just shows us that he does so much for us. And, you know, I had a lot prepared, and of course that went right out the window. I don't remember any of it. So we're just going to shoot from the hip. In 1 Corinthians, you know, Paul talks about the message of the cross being foolishness to those who perish, who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. To experience that power of God through other people's lives, now through my own life, it's a very surreal experience to be standing here today with people I love and people I love. It's two different worlds that are colliding. Mom, don't look at me. I'm going to cry. I'm going to stay on this side. Growing up in the church is tough. It's tough because you have to balance what you see on an everyday basis with what you hear on an everyday basis. What I've heard, of course, Steve's phone is going to go off. That's okay. you know, there's a huge chasm between what I was taught and what I would see, you know. And so as a kid, I would hear my dad preach and I would hear the things of God, but I would see nothing of the sort in people's lives or how they lived just in everyday. People I'd come in contact with, kids, parents that I knew, or even a wanting for that. And it was very confusing when I grew up, because I knew what was right, you know, because when you hear the truth, it resonates with you and you know that it's correct. and even going off on my own path and doing my own things that you guys have seen through my whole life, I still knew that truth because it was taught at a very young age. And I knew that truth. I've had the privilege of having a very godly family. Not only my blood family, but a church family as well. And one day that really shook me, and buddy, I don't know if you'll mind me saying this, but at David's funeral, when we went up, you know, I was to pay my respects to you. I love Buddy and Rita dearly. Very good friends of mine. Live right down the street. I used to go bug Buddy for stuff, you know. He's right down the street. I couldn't help it. You know? He's got hot rods in his garage. What do you expect, man? And I've seen throughout my life the struggle that Buddy and Rita have gone through. And the faith and the resolve that they've continued to have. And when I walked up, I was not expecting Buddy to grab me and shake me and say, look here, this is my boy. This is my boy. This is what happens. And after that day, I walked away more changed than I've ever been from a funeral in my life. And that resounded in my spirit. That resounded in my heart. And that stuck with me to this day. And I thought about my mom and my dad. You know, happened to go to a funeral. Not long after that, I totaled my truck. I wasn't drunk. I wasn't on drugs. I just fell asleep. But the Lord protected me. I don't know how I made it out of that. Hitting a semi at 70 head on. You just don't walk away from stuff like that. And the only scratches I had were on my fingers from gripping the steering wheel from the glass. The Lord just, he's had his hand on me through my entire life. So going through this program, through Adult Teen Challenge, has been rough. It hasn't. It's not an easy road. These guys will tell you. You know, it's a rough road. Finding out and digging down into the root problems, getting down to the real issues is painful. It hurts. It's not fun. But the fruit of that on the other end is it's unreal. You know, to actually feel love for somebody, a love that you've never really felt for anybody other than your family. And to have an understanding and a wisdom of what this life is all about. You know, because that's what everybody's searching for, is a purpose. What do I do with my time? What do I do with my efforts? What do I do with my life? And to land on that, you know, hit the nail on the head, like my dad likes to say. It's unreal. And, you know, we miss sometimes. We go to the left or the right. But there's such a support system here in this program. It's been a privilege to go through it. It's taken me a while to understand what I was doing here. I know the Lord called me from Vegas. You know my story. I went to Vegas and I did, you know, my own thing, searching for the all the stuff of this world, just, you know, the nonsense. And the Lord dropped me in this program. He dropped me to my knees and humbled me and put me in this program. And I left Las Vegas knowing that this was it. That this was the last time. This was the real, true conversion that happened. And I just want to thank you guys for being my family. For standing by my mom and dad and our family and supporting us like a family should. You know, because we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We're all family here. All these men, this church family, we're family. So the scripture I stand on, and it's something that I've really dissected and really had to stand on, is Philippians 4, 4 through 8. And it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness, I like to switch out gentleness because meekness is kind of my new favorite. But let your meekness be evident to all. Do not, for the Lord is near. Do not be anxious in any situation, but by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, bring your requests before God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. It has been a privilege and an honor to be here this morning. I can't wait to get back and rejoin the church family and be here with you guys again. I love you guys. Thank you for your support. Let these guys know you love them as much as you love me. And we thank you for opening the doors and letting us come in. Amen.
On the way over, we talk about where people are from and everything. And I was driving one of the vehicles, a car, and there was a gentleman in the back seat. Would you please stand up? Thank you, sir. Tell him where you're from. Well, yes, sir, but he worked a little bit in Fort Worth. Okay, thank you very much for that part. Well, don't please. I love his brother, but I want him to tell you something. I want to hear a little confessions. It's like a confessional booth here. Who are you pulling for in the NFL? Yeah. See what I'm saying? So we have a troublemaker. Thank you, sir. So I appreciate it, brother. I about wrecked the car when he told me that. My goodness. My buddy Tyler said, why don't we pull over and put him out? So, but I didn't want to wear the brakes out, otherwise I'd have considered it. He'll never forget that introduction, I know that. But anyway. And the one thing that I want to say to you guys, encourage you, I really appreciate your heart and the ministry and everything, is stay the course. Don't give up too fast, too easy. I'm well in my 38th year of doing this, and I've seen a lot of stuff. So from experience, I'm suggesting to you, don't try to take a shortcut. It'll mess you up every time. And Pastor Cindy, I don't see where you, oh, you're sitting right there. Yeah, yeah. There, Gussie. She was opening the door, and somebody else, man, I had all kind of greetings this morning. I got so busy, and the couple that came to see us about some things, I got so busy I didn't get the coffee. And I'm not supposed to eat donuts. I just smell them because I'm type 2. And so the smell was good. Thank you. Yeah, but I listened to you share an update on your activity and ministry yesterday. This September, we're kind of full. But September 2020, Lord's willing, and Creek Don't Rise, if you think there's any way that these guys could come over in casual clothes and be a support to you, and your outreach at the school, the pastor, a blessing. Excuse me, Pastor. He's the top guy. I was going to say top dog. Excuse me. I don't want to be disrespectful. He's the top guy. Oof. And it's when you're in the spirit, you say things wrong. But anyway, we'd be glad to try to help y'all. Okay? It's very important because some of these guys got younger guys. Man, they got some experience and stuff. Anything to help to intervene with others. And we already know about background check. A couple months ago, we went up to a big prison north of Iowa Park. That's where it's tall. And there's about 500 guys under tents. That's a big prison up there. Good gracious. Man, 5,700 people in that place. Not 50, 5,500, 5,300 people in that prison. Man, a lot of tax dollars going up there. Whew. Anyway, but they want us to come back. Not as residents, but come back. Anyway, I was hoping they'd feed us, but they didn't offer to. But anyway, that was part of it. We had a great time going, but they had the background checks. And I did get the guys a little snack on the way back, but not too much because some of them are like front-end loaders. But anyway, I'm thankful to the Lord for the privilege of being here. I want to say a couple of comments about your pastor. He's a fine guy. He's not only sharp in thinking, but he's sharp with the Lord. And his track record speaks volumes for him. And I've watched him over the years and been around him a few times, and he's good. You're blessed. I admire that, his dear wife, you know. She's much nicer to visit with, easier to get along with than him because she smiles more. But anyway, and beside that, I saw her carrying some goodies in today, and so I said, all the more. That speaks volumes for her. But anyway, we have two of our great staff members here. Chuck, would you raise your hand, please? Chuck is the assistant over at the campus, yeah. And we have another guy over there. His name is Darrell, but we don't bring him with us out in public because he has a tendency to want to steal my pens. he's just a thief when it comes to my pens. But we're praying him through on that. Anyway, it's every week for staff meetings I have to struggle to keep my pens. But anyway, I think I ought to sit him down at the end of the table. That's what we ought to do, Chuck. And then there's Matt. Where's Matt? Matt, hey, there you go. Yep. If you ever thought about, we got a lot more guys in here today. If you ever thought about trying to prepare meals 3 times a day, 7 days a week for guys like this, it's a job. And it's not like he just goes to Sam's and you can shop. We go to the food bank. If you've never been to the residence in DeSoto Lighthouse with the pastor's approval and everything, sometimes you want to come over and look around. We'd love to have you, okay, especially with the weather getting cooler. It's easier to get in and out of there. But it's a very beautiful place the Lord's provided for us. We just need $1 million to finish paying for it. But anyway, if you want to write the check, we'll put your name on the place. They put my name on it. I told the board I didn't want that, but they did it anyway. So I'd rather have somebody else's name. Anyway, but we built a place to a commercial rating, you know, state level, so that there's no questions or qualms about the care, the importance of our students, the residents, everybody. Everything meets the top quality standards. And because I believe, like your pastor does, let's do things right. Quit the Mickey Mouse stuff, you know. And so anyway, so we have access to the food bank. So Matt never knows all the time what he's going to have, but it's very good. He does a great job working. In fact, he got recognized. That's what I'm writing. Got recognized by the mayor of DeSoto for outstanding food service. You know, and I've never heard about that. That's the first time it's ever happened in my tenure, and I've never heard about that anywhere around the world with an adult and teen challenge center. But we have one. So I'm thankful for that. 1 Corinthians 15:58, depending on your translation, it says, be steadfast. That's the first word, steadfast. Steadfast, when you think about the definition of steadfast, I don't know what you think about, but it means to stay true to course. You know, we need to walk the line. Sometimes when people read the scripture, they go above the word and they go below the word, but they don't stick with the exact word. They want to read into it instead of what does the word say? Steadfast. Steadfast in reading the word. Steadfast in our walk with the Lord. Steadfast in our commitment to the Lord. Steadfast, and then it says, being unmovable. Unmovable. There's a lot of people on a roller coaster or on a bus route in their walk, and then they just kind of don't stay the course. Always, this is the part I really challenge myself and every one of us, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, there's a lot of people looking to leave a mark on society. And I've wondered about that in my life. What kind of a mark, what kind of an impact am I doing or you doing for eternity is going to make a difference in eternity? Because that's all that matters. What are we doing to make an impact on eternity? Now, I travel thousands of miles every year. And I go to a lot of places. And sometimes you wonder about all the people that you talk with, pray with, and everything. What happens to them? You know, how's it turn out? Because all of us have met people and have talked to people. Some receive, some respond, and others just kind of float along. But that doesn't negate our choice to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Sometimes I think about all that we talk about and everything. And I looked up there, and the pastor drew our attention to the theme, every tribe, every nation. And so I raised the question to us, why missions? Because Jesus said to do it. We got to decide whether we're going to be compliance or whether we're going to float along. Because every one of us in here are called to be missionaries to someone, some way, somehow. I was leaving a wedding one Friday evening. I officiated a wedding at Gospel Lighthouse. And on the way to the office, it was raining. I mean raining. And I like weddings. Well, I shouldn't say I like funerals, but the one thing about it, after funerals, you eat. And I'm raised in a family of 11 brothers and sisters, so eating has been an important part of my life. But anyway, so on the way back to the office, it was raining, and my goodness, there on the service road was a pickup truck with a flat tire. Now, what did I do? Immediately, I didn't say, Lord, what kind of opportunity? I said, Lord, man, I'm glad that's not me. I'm in this car. I'm clean. I'm dry. I'm just going a couple more blocks to be in the office, go by there, boom, then I'm going home. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, help the guy change the tire. And so I did like some of you would do. One, first I had on a good suit, and I sure didn't want to get that messed up. And I had on my good shoes, and I certainly didn't want to get them wet. And I had on a clean shirt, you know, so I didn't want to get all funky out there changing that tire. And beside that, we always come back to this conclusion. God doesn't expect me to touch everybody. But who's in our path? So I passed the guy up. And when I got to the corner, there was a real prompting, like a heaviness, man. You better go around and help that guy. And as I was going around the block, I got this prompting. Hey, you can take your shoes off, your socks off, or leave your socks on, roll your pants legs up, and, you know, da-da-da-da, take your tie off and that stuff. So that's what I did. On the way around, figuring that I'm going to have wet feet and everything else and get all wet. But then the Lord said, I'll provide the cleaning so you can get the suit cleaned. So I went around there and I got out of the car. I had an umbrella in the car. So I went up to the door and I said, hey, come on, I'm going to change the tire for you. He looked at me, he looked at his wife, he thought, you're nuts. I said, well, I really thought I better do this. So we got out, and he's holding up the umbrella, and I'm changing the guy's tire. He said, any particular reason you want to do this? I said, well, I figure if you hold the umbrella while I change the tire, I can tell you about what happened to me one Thursday night. See, I got saved on a Thursday night. And the guy that wrote Romans is the guy that I was named after, Paul. I mean, that's my kick on who wrote it. Historians do. But anyway, he says, I'm not ashamed or awkward, uncomfortable about the gospel. And see, you know, when we think about Jesus Christ and what he went through to make this life possible for us, why should we neglect telling others about him? That's all it is. We could talk for days. Man, after 38 years, I got a lot of experiences. I'm not saying I'm the epitome of a missionary. I'm just trying to share with you, I'm just like you are. When I go into Grandy's because I want to get a cheap cup of coffee as a senior, you can pass 55, you can go to Grandy's, and you can get it for 60 cents plus tax, 63 cents. And so occasionally I do that, especially when you're trying to get away from the office and people on the phone. So you sit up there with your notepad and you're writing stuff down. And I was sitting up there one morning, and don't you know, this guy came in, sat down over there, and I looked up from this, I looked over there, and he looking at me. I said, hi. He said, hi. I said, my name is Paul. He said, I'm Tom. I said, okay. I said, well, where are you going? He said, what do you mean, where am I going? I said, well, you know, are you going to heaven? You know, he said, there ain't no hell. I said, how'd you notice a heaven? See, I'd gotten up and moved over to his booth then, you know, because I wanted to get close. You know, I told him, I said, I'm here to learn. How'd you find out there's a heaven, no hell? He said, well, I grew up in such a church. He said, they told me all day. He said, I haven't found out there's any hell. And I said, well, you better start believing there is one. I said, the Bible says, you know, we're supposed to head for heaven. And after we talked for a while, he said, you know, he said, you make a lot of sense. He's 93 years of age, messed up in his thinking. I'm not saying the man was headed to hell. I'm just saying the man needed some adjustment in his thinking. And I just wanted a cup of decaf coffee because I'm not supposed to drink the regular stuff because they say it cranks you up. But anyway, so I had to be calm. Anyway, what I'm saying is this. While I was changing that guy's truck tire, you know, I just talked to him about the Lord. because I was already getting my hands dirty. My feet were already wet because of the water and running down the street. And I knew that. And don't you know it, the next week I decided to take the suit in to get it cleaned. It was a gift to me from a church. And so I had this real nice suit. I only wore it for special occasions. And you don't wear it all the time because anyone else would be special. It would be the same old thing. But anyway, so I decided I would go to this one cleaner's. And they're a little bit more expensive. I saw the price on the window. I said, I don't want to go there all the time. And then finally, I went there with that suit. I said, a nice suit. I'll get a special clean. So I got there about 10 o'clock in the morning after I did everything else I was supposed to do earlier. And when I walked in the door, well, I went to the door was locked. And I thought, well, the lights were on and everything. And about that time, this little Korean lady came out and unlocked the door. Now, this is like everyday life. You know what I'm saying? I didn't tell you. I walked in there, da-da-da-da-da-da. She unlocked the door, and I went in. Okay, I laid the suit on the counter, and then I heard the door lock. I turned around. She was pulling the key out. I thought, this woman's crazy. She don't know me, but I saw the chair over there, and I thought, if she makes the wrong move, the chair's going through the window, and so am I. You know, you've got to think of a way to get out. You just can't be... See, we've got to get out of the walls. If we're going to let our light shine, we just don't let it shine in here. We've got to let it shine everywhere. Because the Bible said, whosoever will may come. What we got to do is find who's the next whosoever. And so as I'm going up to the counter, I'm already there. And she went behind the counter and she said, what's your name? And I gave her my name and that phone number. And after she was writing kind of slow. And I thought, you know, what's wrong here? And so she looked at me. She said, I've been in America for 4 months. I thought, okay, welcome. I said, where are you from? South Korea. I said, oh, really welcome. And I said, how you like it here? She says, I do. She said, I need to talk to you. I said, about what? She said, I have a 19-year-old son on drugs. I thought, oh. I said, why are you going to talk to me? She said, I was over in Korea. She said, I heard this Dr. Paul Young Cho. And she said, I gave my heart to the Lord. But my 19-and-a-half-year-old son, see, that's a guy way across the water, right? We've heard about him probably and never met him. I think I did see him one time, shook his hand through something, but anyway, that's no big deal. I mean, just nice, good man. But anyway, so I'm listening to this. She said, last night, she's out there 4 months, she said, and I've been praying since I got here that God would help me to find some help for my son. And she said, last night, she said, God said to me, he said, tomorrow I'm going to send a man there. You see, it started off with that bunch of people getting me a suit, okay? Now, I don't need a suit. I got one, okay? I got two of them, three of them. I don't care. I got more than I need to wear. Anyway, the bottom line is this, is God will connect us. I didn't even want to go in the cleaners because they were more pricey than the ones I normally take to for $1.25, $1.35. You know, those everyday places. You know. But God has a design for your heart, your life, your actions, your emotions, your contacts, wherever you and I travel. Now, her son, after I talked to him a couple different times, he decided he wasn't really ready to submit to Jesus Christ. But he heard the gospel. See, our goal, our objective, our primary, to me, objective is not to always win the argument, but to somehow build the bridge and win the people. So that somehow we can impact him with the modeling in our lives that somehow Jesus is the answer. Now, we know the story about Jonah very well. And we get all whacked out with Jonah. Poor Jonah, we're ready to run him through the shredder because he went the wrong way. But how many of us, the Lord tells us to go this way and we go that way. We make light of Jonah because, you know, God told Jonah, he said, go tell them the message that I give you. And I'm promising you this morning, the Holy Spirit will help you to have a message to reach the individual that he puts you in contact with. All we got to do is rely on him. We got to do is say, okay, Lord. I was sitting on a plane going to a funeral back east. My nephew, this some time back, he drowned. And he was a good Christian, volunteered in nursing homes and everything. 20 years of age, he and his buddies swimming in Pretty Boy Dam, north of Baltimore in Maryland. He wasn't supposed to be swimming in there. There are signs. But anyway, he and his buddy went swimming. Stout little rascals, but the current and everything got him. Anyway, so I'm going back there to help to do the funeral, right? And I sit down in the bulkhead. Now, I sit in the bulkhead trying to all the time because several reasons. One, I'm a heart patient. you know, and if something happens, I wouldn't be able to have access to. The other thing is I like to stretch my legs out. But one of the primary reasons I sat in the bulkhead, okay, I confess, the flight attendants, if you're nice to them and talk trash, they'll give you extra treats. And that's it. I focus on that. And so I'm sitting in a bulkhead. A lady comes over and sits down on that side in the bulkhead. And she got her books out. She pulls a chair out, or the, what do you call it, a little table out. And she's writing it away. And I'm thinking, man, she's an author or something. She's doing a journal or something. And so here we are. We're going down in a taxi. And I'm thinking the flight attendant's going to tell her to put things away and everything. Just went right back. And then all of a sudden, this woman started crying. And I thought, is she scared? You know, some people drive crazy, but, you know, the aircraft was going down the runway, right? He wasn't swimming. So I reached over and put my hand on her arm, and I patted. I said, it'll be all right. I said, everything's okay. I said, I pray. And so she looked at me, tears going down. I said, do you want to talk about it? She says, I'm leaving my husband. I said, where are you going? She said, I'm going to Ireland. I mean, you know, it's one thing to leave him and go to another city, but, man, she's going to Ireland. She's going to Chicago and fly out of there. Another thing, too, if I'm going to East Coast, why do I got to go to Chicago to go there? But anyway, they do that. That's messed up geography. But anyway, so she said to me, she said, so you believe in God? I said, yes. She said, and, you know, the conversation went on. I said, tell me about your husband. Well, they live in Highland Park. And Highland Park is you know, I like Brent Bowman, but he was talking bad about Dallas because he's over in Fort Worth. But he's from Mansfield. He don't know any better, but, you know. She's a great family comes from, but anyway, sometimes you're a little off. Anyway, so Highland Park is a real exclusive neighborhood. I mean, you've got to have money to live there. I just go through there and try to smell it. But anyway, so it ended up, right, I'm on this plane going back to East to help do a funeral, right? I didn't get on there with a clerical collar on. I just got on there, right? What I'm suggesting to you, friend, is all around us, there are Ninevehs that we are called to reach out and touch. But what we got to do is decide, instead of shirking ourselves, instead of coming back in and going into a concave or something, we got to say, okay, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Because the Lord saved us. He's equipped us with all that we need. He's empowered us. We have the Word of God within us. I love it that you have all these different studies and things that you can come to on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, whatever it is. But you're studying the Word. You got the Word coming to you from this man every week. You got it on your TV 24/7 if you want it. Some of it I would suggest you kind of put it, but that's neither here nor there. The bottom line is we've got a diet of it, a smorgasbord. But what are we doing with all that we have? What's the evidence of our mark that we're trying to do to make an impact on eternity? Make a difference in eternity. So before we got off the plane in Chicago, I reached across the aisle because I was in the bulkhead because I got there because I wanted extra snacks, but I had extra time to, I had an opportunity to pray with this woman. I talked to the husband, but he wasn't serious over there in Highland Park. Talked to him on the phone, didn't want to show up for an appointment. I don't walk around flaunting a card or credentials. Very few times. I did stop to pick up a hitchhiker one time. It was a lady, a mother, and three children. They were on the side of the road. She was on a crutch, something wrong with her hip or leg or something. She was walking, getting dark and everything. So I pulled over and told her, I said, why don't you all get in here? And she said, well, I don't know who you are. And I said, well, I'm Paul and da-da-da. And I showed her my card. And she said, yeah, well, you make it. And she said, do you have any other identification? I said, yeah, here's my license. And I showed her my minister's card, which I hardly ever show, and I'm laying them all across the trunk, credit cards and everything. And she said, well, you may be okay. So she told the children, she said, get in the back seat. I will sit in the front. So she got her crutch in between me. She's looking at me. I'm just trying to do good. Get her off the shoulder of the road with the three children. It's starting to get dark. You know, people are out there. Yeah. What we got to do is decide, Lord, I want the Holy Spirit to keep bringing the surface of creativeness in me, that somehow I'm going to break out of my little self-centered mindset of running from Nineveh to Nineveh so that I can make a difference in the world. Because Jesus Christ, we need to lift him up. Told John, he said, I got to be lifted up on a cross. And he said, I'm going to be lifted up like, you know, And he said, I got to be lifted up like that. And so he's telling us every day we need to lift him up. Well, we got in the car and I started back on the highway, the road out there in 30 going to Mesquite, take her where she lived. Layla, little girl in the back seat said to me, she tapped me on the shoulder. She said, sir, she said, would you have any time to visit my dad? I said, well, he's in the hospital. She said, no, he's in jail. I thought to myself, this little child, 4 years old, concerned about her dad in jail. And we're not concerned about our neighbor. And I thought, man, see, when my neighbors move in, boom, I bring them an apple pie, sugar-free. Because invariably they'll say, Paul, do you want a piece? So I make sure it's something that I can eat. You know, I don't want to go home hungry. You see? Because they want to know what I do, and I want to tell them what I do. You know? Because I want to not be standing before Jesus ashamed because I didn't tell them about the Jesus who saved me. We have a problem with rejection of the obvious. A policeman called me on a Friday afternoon about 5 o'clock. Now, let me confess to you. 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon or just about quarter till 5, I'm getting anxious to get out of here because I know I'm going to go eat. And we normally eat at 6 on Friday because there's a bunch of other people from church that we hang out there and eat at Judy's. And see, the reason we're at Judy's because Judy's son got married to Kate. Kate is originally from Russia, and Judy's husband, and they lived over in Macedonia. Anyway, they're there. They need Jesus. And Kate, after they got married, they got, you know, eventually 4, 5, 8 months, I don't know, they got expecting a child. So I decided that we gave Kate a baby shower. Because I wanted people in there to know somehow that that baby was important and life was important. See, I'm trying to find some way to give them Jesus. Every card we give them, every word, everything, we always trying to talk to them about the Lord. I've had opportunity to minister to some of the other staff in there, or the other workers. We have because of providing clothes for some of the struggling people or, you know, other things that we have blessed. Because it's a door. It's a driveway into the Ninevehs in my world or your world. So we gave Kate a baby shower. We invited people, you know, from the customers in there. See, well, I want to do a baby dedication because I want the family together. I want them to understand the importance of raising that child in the fear and admonition of the Lord. It's good to have a baby, you know what I'm saying? But it's very important how you what you do with the baby, you know. I always tell little children, I hug them and give them ice cream. Linda will pinch them. So I don't bring her with me all the time. But anyway, whew. I used to have hair on my head, young people, when I got married. This is what happens. But what we got to do is decide, Lord, what are we going to do? But when that policeman called me on that Friday afternoon, he said to me, he said, you're Paul Ecker? And I said, yes, sir. He said, you're executive? Yes, sir. He said, you're Pentecostal, aren't you? I said, yes, sir. How do you know? He said, well, I read the book, The Cross and Switchblade. I said, great. I said, what can I help you with? He said, Jim Smith is over here in a motel going to kill himself. This is Friday afternoon, almost 5 o'clock. I said, well, I said, I'll pray for you that you'll be safe and you'll get Jim out of there, take him down to psychiatric ward at Parkland Hospital. See, I know what they're supposed to do. See, we know what people are supposed to do. We have the answers. That's why we debate with God whether we should go to Nineveh. That's why Ninevehs are out there still with 120,000 people on their way to an eternity without Christ. And we've ignored them. One man, Jonah, went to Nineveh, walked through the town, and all the people came to Christ. One man. Look how many ones are in here. Look how many people you're dealing with here. When I drove down the street and And I saw all the residents and all the people. I thought, man, how many doors have been knocked on? How many people have been invited? How many people have been extended? How many people are planning to have a Christmas singing carol thing or whatever? Something to raise up awareness that Jesus is the answer and we're celebrating the birth of the Savior. What are we going to do? There's enough creative juices in here to shake Fort Worth and everything around here. All we got to do is say, Lord, let's get together and may let's do something in addition to just talking about it. Yeah. I pastored a church in Missouri one time. Linda said, you drive people crazy in the town. Said, people ain't ready for you. So I told the officer, I said, he wanted me to come over. And I said, look, I said, it's almost 5 o'clock and I'm off duty. I said, you know, I'm not off duty. I just wanted to go eat. And Linda's in there saying, I think you ought to go. She may have Hutton in my world. So finally, after a little bit of disagreement, I said, okay, I'll be over. And she could drive at that time, but now she's got transverse myelitis. That's a paralyzed on her right side down, so pray for her. She gets better. You know, it's crazy. I mean, she works hard. Her mind's good, but that paralysis just messes her up. Anyway, so I got over there. On the way over, I thought to myself, Lord, if I don't get there soon, then the groceries are not going to be there, and there won't be, you know, a variety of food, you know. And I know I just eat anything. I'm not picky either. Just eat. And so when I got over there, there they were in the parking lot, 3 cop cars, lights flashing and everything. Boy, and I thought, ain't this a mess? But the Lord said to me, look at this. They're not behind you. I said, yes. So I pulled over and got out. And I walked up to the commander and I said, I'm Paul Ecker. He said, boy, am I glad to see you. I can hear Jim inside yelling and carrying on. So I went over and pushed the door open and I said, Jim, give me that gun. He said, hi, Paul. And he walked over and I grabbed the paper towel and gave me the weapon. I turned around and gave it to the officer. And I said, well, I'll see you later. Thank you. And he said, you're taking him home. I said, sir, I said, you know the law. You got to take him down there. He said, I'm not taking him down there. He said, you're taking him. He said, thank you very much. They waved at me and they went and got in their car. And I'm staying there with Jim. It's after 5:15 now. I know I'm not going to make it to eat dinner at 6. Here I've got a lost soul and I'm thinking about dinner. That's the way we are. You see? I used to be a real thin kid. Now I'm just an older, heavier kid. But the bottom line is, Jim got in the car. He's directed me to his house. I knew Jim because I had, through Adult Teen Challenge, we had helped his one son-in-law years before that. He had my car for all those years. Anyway, I got to get ready to close. The pastor's wife gave me the cutoff sign. Excuse me, ma'am. 2 more minutes, thanks, here and there. Thanks. I got 4 minutes now, thanks. Anyway, sweetheart, boy, but she cut you off there. Anyway. So on the way to the house, I'm thinking, boy, I'll get Jim over there and drop him off. I'll turn around, and I'm figuring plan A, B, and C to how to get to over to my house to get to, you know. And because traffic is crazy over there. My goodness. And, you know, the old saying we have over there, women drivers, no survivors. No, just kidding, girl. Just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. That's Brent's saying. I was just repeating what he said. So when I pulled up in the driveway, right? Now, this is the way it is, right? There's no plan A, B, and C. God didn't write it on the wall. I pull up in the driveway. His neighbor's out there with a hose. He's watering his flowers and plants and everything. And I thought, that must be nice, you know? So I get out of the car, and he says, hi. I said, hi, how you doing? He said, who are you? I said, I'm Paul. I said, I know Jim. And he said, Jim, having a problem? I said, yeah. He said, we're having a problem, too. I said, well, here's my card. I said, give me a call. He said, well, my wife and I, he said, we're having a disagreement. He said, well, give me a call. I said, we'll get an appointment. His wife drove up in the driveway. She opened the door, and he said to her, he said, honey, he says, come on over here. He said, Paul's going to talk to us. I'm thinking about eating, getting Jim in the house. So we go in Jim's house. We sit at the table. He comes in. The neighbor comes in. His wife comes in. So we do a little bit of scriptural walking through marriage like journey and the importance of Jesus being the core value, the premier value of your life. I finally got to eat later. But just remind yourself, people know about what we're supposed to be and the ability or the power that we say that we have because relationship with Him. So if we're going to reach every tribe and every nation, that's great what you are doing, have done, and are planning on doing to reach missionaries here and around the world to help them. But it's of a great importance that we look in the mirror every day and say, Lord, thank you for calling me to be a missionary to my world. So whether it's at the emergency room at Parkland or whatever, John Peter Smith Hospital here or down at the courthouse in the waiting room, go down there sometimes, walk the halls, sit on the benches, wait for people to go in outside for the point. There's somebody that'll talk to you. I can talk to you till tomorrow at this time, tell you about it, but I'm not going to. I'm just suggesting to you, don't write Jonah off because he ended up in the belly of the big fish. But he came to his senses during his prayer time in that big fish. And when the big fish put him out, he went and did what the Lord told him to do. Let's avoid the big fish experience. And let's say, Lord, when I wake up in the morning, I know there's a Nineveh out there you want me to go to. Wherever it is, I'll go and I'll tell and I'll speak and I'll share. I'll live it out somehow. I'm not trying to win the battles, but I will build a bridge to bring others to Jesus. Because he said in John 3:16, whosoever will, whosoever will. Everybody out there is a whosoever will. And what we got to do is be so exuberant and full of Jesus that we just go out there and do something about it. Father, I thank you for this great church, for the leadership you have set in place here, ordained, and God, for their high level of commitment. I thank you, Lord, for each elder, each board member, each deacon, each person that's on the staff, the team, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for all the other participants, the whole family of this church body. And God, I pray many more souls will come to know you and serve you and glorify you and fill the house. Hallelujah. And bring glory to you. Thank you, Lord. Help us to keep on reproducing. In Jesus, your name we pray and give you glory. While your heads are bowed, please. There's someone here this morning that says, Paul, I need Jesus. I don't have Jesus in my life. I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. Okay, you slip your hand up and back down. You put it back down. Thank you. Anyone else? Just got to slip it up and back down. Thank you, Lord, for that one. Raised a hand. Even before I got it out of my lips, Lord, you know their heart. They know what they're struggling with. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. Help us, Lord, to ask, to seek, and to receive, and to stand on your promises. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen. Pastor.
Amen. Lift a clap offering before the Lord. Yes. I just want that spirit that's on Paul. I first experienced Paul out in San Angelo, Texas, and boy, he always stirs my heart. I'm so glad for a friendship and a fellowship with him, and to experience the ministry and to become contagious with them. But I'm praying over us as a congregation that we go after our Jerichos. I love that. There's a whosoever will out there, amen. And we may work with them, play with them, be on a team with them. Who knows? But the Lord will use us. Yep, he'll use you. He'll use me to reach him. I'm going to call upon the ushers to come, and we have some more baskets there. 100% of this offering we want to designate. I've attempted to put it on Easy Tithe. It's not showing up in the app yet. Maybe it just takes some time. But if nothing else, there's a category on there called Other. The very last one in Easy Tithe for those of you who give electronically. And if you do it to Other, we'll make sure that Other is them. And that we 100% of that, that we can sow that seed into these young men. And it's become especially dear to us because one of our own is being helped and ministered to right there in the ministry of Teen Challenge. You heard from Cameron. That's my boy. He's back there in the sound booth this morning where he's been there a lot. He's been up there a lot. So we just have received from you guys. And we are also, as a church, providing them with a meal. So they're going to be over in the multi-purpose building. Many of you have made that provision. Thank you. I want to say thank you for that. And just call. Guys, if you'll come to the front, I'll pray as you come up. And then you can move amongst the people. And then we'll pray a dismissal prayer. And we'll be out of here. Lord, thank you. This has been rich this morning. This has been a treat right here in the middle of the summer. And Lord, we just open our heart, our spirit to you here at Vision Church. We want to receive of your spirit. We want to be evangelistic like never before. We want to reach others, love others, build bridges. Put us into the bridge building business, we pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity we have to give. We give it as unto you, and we know that you can multiply its effectiveness to change many lives, and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I thought for a second I heard some music. There it is. I just got the high side that it is showing up in Easy Tide, so that's good electronically for a Dallas Life Challenge. So, amen. Or other, doesn't matter. We'll take care of it. All right, let's all stand to our feet. I just want to pray a blessing over you. Just proclaim a blessing. How many of you just stand a blessing? Yes. The Lord bless and keep you, and may he cause his face to shine upon you. May you receive of that radiance of his glory and presence as we go through this week, that we go with a sense of destiny and purpose. And I just proclaim that and pray that over you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. The Lord bless us as we go.